You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us this week, Thursday, right after the Dodgers-Mets game, to get in on the action. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how you doing?
Jeff, I'm doing well. Dodgers won. That's a good thing. But it was just, these last two games have just been ugly and kind of, I don't know, weird, but wins are wins and I'm going to take them.
Yeah, for sure. It's maybe a little bit scary that they've had back-to-back one-run wins over a team like the Pirates, but I do think the Pirates are better than their record might show. And, you know, with the Dodgers pitching staff how it is and the travel plans, you know, we will take 2-0 in this series so far with the deck stacked against the Dodgers and hopefully can finish a sweep today. We're going to talk today about Gavin Lux, a little bit about his defense in the game on Tuesday night and just kind of the plan for him going forward. Going to talk about how awesome Blake Treinen's been along with the rest of the bullpen. And then we are going to answer a listener question about the Dodgers getting hit by pitches. So that is the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please follow or subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince, so the Dodgers beat the Pirates 4-3, padding their one-run game stats. It looks like this is they've won five in a row, and four of them have been by one run. So hopefully they can break out and have a big win today. But, you know, we'll take the one-run wins, I guess. And they needed it because we thought that the Giants had hit the portion of their schedule where they were going to start playing major league teams, but it turns out they're playing the Mets instead, who are no help at all. So the Dodgers had to win to keep pace, and they did. And even though the game started around the same time, the Dodger game ended roughly 35 hours after the Giants game because it was a long game.
Yeah, long game. And just like I said, weird, ugly game. The Dodgers, it's one of those where you're just happy to get out with the win, and so far won the series already, but hopefully going for the sweep. They've done well with having their bullpen throw a bulk of the innings, basically the last few games, minus Scherzer and Buehler starts. So it's a good sign for that. We'll get into that a little bit later. Wins are wins at this point, especially the season keeps getting shorter and the Giants haven't really been losing.
But the Gavin Lux made his return from the injured list, started the game at third base, and did not get any easy opportunities. He had four balls hit to him, and they were all challenging in one way or another. And he batted 500, if you want to look at it that way, which is good for a batting average, not so great for a fielding percentage. So he, you know, his first play was a little chopper down the line hit by the pitcher that Lux actually made a really nice play, scooping it up, throwing over to first for the out, held the runner at third base. The next one with another runner at third base, contact play, and Lux made the play and had time to get the out at home, but made a bad throw for his first error. Then he had a hard ground ball that he made a really nice stop on and made a strong throw over to first that was a little bit too strong, but Matt Beatty made a really nice play to keep his toe on the bag for the out. And then that same inning, another hard shot at Lux that he made a nice play on, but then threw even stronger to first base, and this one went about 5 feet over Matt Beatty's glove. All in all, it was not what we were hoping for necessarily from Gavin Lux defensively.
It was, I mean, yeah, we've never seen him at third base. I don't think either of us watched him at OKC, but it was just a matter of, I think as Dodger fans, we're a little bit spoiled. We've seen a lot of different players over the last few years play multiple positions, kind of without really having any issues. Kike Hernandez, Chris Taylor being the main ones, but even other guys, Max Muncy's, became really good at second base and then became really good at first base. And then we've seen other guys move around. Zach McKinstry has been decent at all spots so far this year. And you know, it's probably a little bit harder than most of us think because of what we've seen as Dodger fans. And this is what it was. I mean, he's had throwing issues before. I'm not going to tie those into now. It didn't look like a case of the yips. The one that he overthrew was just a matter of I don't think he realized how much time he had, and he just airmailed it a little bit. So the bad part is that the Dodgers can't really afford these growing pains. Luckily, they were playing the Pirates, and the pitching staff was able to hold them. But when they play some of these better teams like that, better teams will take advantage of stuff like that. So it's just a matter of, you know, Doc's giving everyone kind of days off here and there after the weird travel plans of the weekend. So I think that's more the case. I don't think we'll see Lux too often getting a start at third base as long as everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, I think that's right. And like you said, in this game, Justin Turner and Max Muncy both had the day off. And that was very clearly, we're playing the Pirates and we think we can beat them without our best players kind of decision. And when you look at the big picture, you assume that the reason so many guys are getting days off in this series is so that they don't need days off in the upcoming series against, better teams. And like you said, with Lux, I'm sure Lux would have loved to have had just a routine ground ball at some point early in the game, just to get, you know, okay, this is how you play third base. You field the ball, you throw it to first. But like I said, all four of the balls hit to him were unique and challenging, and he never did have a routine ground ball to third, makes an easy throw to first base kind of play. And that's a rough way to get broken into playing third base in the major leagues for the first time. And we saw when they put Will Smith at third base on, I think that was the day they got no hit. Will Smith has a great arm and he gets a grounder, and then he just looked like he couldn't even throw across a diamond. It's a different thing when you've done it. A lot of people on Twitter, because you were talking about how we're spoiled with guys playing multiple positions, a lot of people did say it kind of reminded them of the Jock Peterson experiment, you know, because Jock, you would think, okay, if he could play the outfield, he could surely play first base. Anybody can play first base. And what we learned is anybody except for Jock Peterson can play first base. I don't think it's really like that with Gavin Lux. I think this was a case of, you know, maybe the moment got a little bit too big for him, but mostly it was just a little bit of bad luck. And like you said, we probably won't see him at third base a lot. Dave Roberts did say that we might even see Gavin Lux in the outfield. I think that's great. I would love to see Gavin Lux in the outfield. He's definitely got the wheels for it. Assuming he can judge a fly ball, he's got the wheels for it, and he has plenty of arm. He's got a very strong arm, as we saw, maybe a little too strong at times. And so I think Gavin Lux in the outfield is, and then at short and second most of the time, I think he can hold down those positions and do really well as a semi-super utility guy.
The fact of the matter is he hasn't necessarily hit himself into a starting position anymore. He's had, you know, last season, even if you call it a wash, this season he basically had the reins and never really quite took control of it. And the Dodgers could be thinking, you know, Chris Taylor's going to be a free agent. If he wants to be an everyday player or have a more of a secure role, second base would kind of be where that's at if Seager doesn't stay and they move Trey Turner over to short, whatever the case is. But they're also just kind of setting themselves up, getting him ready in case, like I said, the bat never comes around to where he's a bona fide everyday player, but he's a guy who can definitely fill in and be an above average hitter, you know, compared to other people that may be in utility roles.
And even come in as a pinch runner, knowing you could leave him in on defense, so.
Yeah.
So, a lot to look forward to with Gavin Lux to see how this all shakes out. I do think he's going to hit better, and I think his defense will probably be okay, but we definitely didn't see either of those things in action on Tuesday night. We're going to come back in a minute and talk about Blake Treinen's dominance and kind of bullpen stuff in general, so keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about the Dodgers or your other favorite teams in sports. We will be hosting rooms for Locked On Dodgers once a week, and you can finally get in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You have a chance to chat with Vince and me, and maybe even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Dodgers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Join us this week, Thursday, right after the Dodgers-Mets game, to talk live with us. Go to the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live, because we know you won't want to miss it. Like I said, we'll be live Thursday right after the Dodgers-Mets game, and we can't wait to hear all your thoughts on the Dodgers. We'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, Vince, let's talk about the bullpen. So let's first talk about Blake Treinen. Blake Treinen has been awesome. It's one of those things that you and I both mentioned. It kind of slipped under our radar until everybody started tweeting about it. And not that we hadn't realized that Blake Treinen's been good, but hadn't realized how good and for how long now. Blake Treinen, after his performance on Tuesday, has not allowed an earned run since June 23rd against the Padres. That's almost two full months now. His ERA, after allowing two runs to the Padres on June 23rd, his ERA was at 3.41. And after tonight's game, it sits at 1.88. I mean, he's basically cut his ERA almost in half in the last 2 months and is just lights out.
He's been really, really good. And we've talked about like trying just kind of in the context of maybe he should be closing out games instead of Kenley Jansen. But, yeah, I definitely, if you would have told me Blake trying to handle out a earned runs in June, I would have said, really? And it's just a matter of him coming in. He's been really dominant lately. Like, I think the last three or four appearances, he's gotten all three outs in, like, 15 pitches or less. So he's been really dominant lately, and that's a good sign for the Dodgers, obviously. But just a matter of he's the guy that can go to, and they haven't really had to go to him in like high leverage situation, or not high leverage, but in situations, you know, he hasn't really been the fireman type. That's been kind of a little bit more Phil Bickford's role. Once they get into the later innings, they kind of avoid that type of stuff. He comes in with mostly clean innings, and then occasionally he'll come in with runners on and put some fires out. But he's been exactly what you could have asked for. Thoroughly dominant, as you could say.
Yeah, and also in those 22 games that he hasn't allowed an earned run, he's also only been averaging 13 pitches per inning, roughly, which, you know, it's really made it so he can be efficient, which means he's available more often, you know, whether it's to go get four or five outs in a single game or to be able to go on back-to-back days or whatever. You know, keeping that pitch count down is super valuable for the whole team. Just everything about Blake Treinen right now, he's getting the strikeouts. He has 26 strikeouts in 23 and two-thirds innings during that stretch. And, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about how the big when Blake Treinen has been frustrating a little bit in the last couple of years, it's been because he hasn't been getting the strikeouts. Last year, his strikeouts per nine was only 7.7, which is just way too low for a guy with his stuff. Well, this year, it's over 10, where it should be. Because when Blake Treinen is missing bats, he is awesome. And you look at his stuff and you're like, how does he ever not miss bats? And so what we've been seeing, sometimes when a pitcher is doing really well, you kind of just think, okay, well, I hope this lasts. But with Blake Treinen, it's like, okay, this is what he should be doing. A guy with his stuff, this is why he was one of the best pitchers in baseball back in 2018. You know, back then, his K per nine was 11.2, even better than this year. But, you know, other than that, I mean, his underlying peripherals were very, very similar to what he's doing this year. And especially in the last 2 months, basically we're seeing the 2018 version of Blake Treinen, and you can't go wrong there. And it kind of makes you wonder, you know, especially when we see the contrast, like we saw tonight, of Blake Treinen coming in and being dominant and then Kenley Jansen coming in and being not dominant. You know, a lot of people would like to see Blake Treinen at closing. Personally, I don't like the idea of a closer. I want the Dodgers, I want them to declare, we no longer have a closer. We are going with matchups. And I think in tonight's game, probably you would go where you did. You know, the part of the lineup that Jansen faced, it was probably the best option for Jansen to face. You know, but if the meat of the lineup is coming up in the ninth inning, I want the Dodgers lining up their bullpen so that Blake Treinen is pitching the ninth inning.
Yeah, and they may do that here with time running out, going for the division. They would definitely, I think, do it in the postseason, as we've talked about a lot before, with Jansen being last year of his contract. They don't necessarily have to feel like they've owed it to him, and Jansen could come in. I mean, we saw Treinen come in a lot of different spots last year in the postseason, kind of being that fireman type. And this year, they kind of have other guys that can fill that role, and he can kind of stay back and wait and hopefully pitch in later innings and hold those leads. And I think the other part, too, of just why we haven't really noticed is that he's been so good lately that he doesn't really get put into situations where you feel tense and where, like, he has a big show of emotion or, you know, a big punch out and celebration. He just goes in and goes, like, 1-2-3 all the time, and we don't really – it's just kind of casual at this point.
Yeah, he's flying under the radar, and it's kind of nice. But it'll be interesting to see in Wednesday's game, a bullpen game. You know, Mitch White is theoretically going to get the bulk of the innings. They do have some of their more nondescript relievers available. So hopefully the offense can just show up and make it so that you can go with some of the lesser relievers. But if it is another close game, I'm interested to see if Blake Treinen's available, because he's pitched each of the first two games of this series, but he's only thrown a total of 16 pitches in those two games. And so it's like, you know, it's not inconceivable that he could be available for a third game in a row. I definitely hope that he's not needed, because I'd like him to be available for the Mets series. But, you know, Blake Treinen is spoiling us. The Dodgers did sign Shane Green, which was kind of interesting one. He has been really good at times in the past. He was really bad with the Braves this year. And maybe that was, you know, some of it was getting a late start, but some of it's hard to tell what's going on with Shane Green. His strikeout numbers are good. He's definitely been walking too many guys and giving up too many home runs. And that's basically the difference. His walks per nine coming into this season for his career was about 3. And this year it's 4.8. His home runs per nine was about 1, and this year it's 2.6. So, you know, maybe the Dodgers see something in Shane Green that they can fix and, you know, cut down on the walks and the home runs. We saw, I mean, basically Shane Green's problems have been exactly what Alex Vesia's problems were the first month of the season, and he seems to have figured it out.
Yeah, it's a guy who has had success just as recently as last year with the Braves, had an ERA in the 2s, was an All-Star in 2019, so couldn't find it this year, and we've seen guys come to the Dodgers and either pitch better because of sequencing or different things, or maybe they noticed something, and that's just kind of what we're hoping for here, because yeah, he's been really bad to the tune of 8.47 ERA in 17 innings pitched with a 1.82 whip. But if they can get him right, I mean, he was a really good reliever, just like I said, just as recent as last year.
Yeah, and he continues a trend the Dodgers have had this the last few weeks of just kind of the revolving door. You know, it's always a revolving door with the Dodgers bullpen, but usually the revolving door doesn't involve so many guys who aren't on the 40-man roster. But they just keep on putting guys onto the 40-man roster and then, you know, outriding them off, DFAing them, or, you know, keeping them for a while. It's kind of, you know, we kind of joked yesterday about we're going to need the obscure former Dodger segment just for this season. And, you know, Shane Green might end up being on that list, or he might end up being a useful part of this bullpen. We almost got to see the Dodgers debut on Tuesday night of that former Rangers closer whose name I can never remember. What's his name, Vince?
Neftali Feliz.
Neftali Feliz. You know, he was warming up when Kenley Jansen was thinking about blowing the game. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the Dodgers do. They didn't trade for any bullpen help at the trade deadline, but they have added a bunch of guys since then, just kind of other guys' cast-offs, and we've seen some success with that. So it might work out.
I don't know if they don't necessarily need any of them to work out to the tune of being on the playoff roster, but it would be ideal. You know, adding Corey Knebel after the trade deadline was kind of like trading for a reliever, but then they lost Jimmy Nelson, so it's kind of a wash in that sense. But if any of these guys can end up working out, then that's a big benefit. And I think the other weird part too is just most of these guys have been getting DFA'd and then ended up sticking around. I think Jake Reed's one of the only ones that ended up getting picked up, and he pitched 3 shutout innings against the Dodgers on Sunday. So it'll be, like I said, next year it'll definitely be fun to remember all these guys that were on the team however many games they pitched.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to answer a listener question about the Dodgers getting hit by pitches. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. Built Bar, as you know, is the best tasting protein bar in the world, and they believe in your freedom of choice. That's why they give you so many options to choose from. They have so many delicious flavors. You know, my favorite currently is the Grasshopper Cookie. That thing, it's like you're eating a box of Thin Mints that you bought from the Girl Scouts, except you don't have to bathe in self-loathing the whole time, because they're healthy, they're good for you, and they're delicious. Every Built Bar has 17 or 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. They're all tasty and they are all healthy, and that is a ridiculous combination. So whatever you're trying to do, lose weight, build muscle, just want a snack that tastes good and doesn't make you feel guilty, Built Bar is the answer. And if you go to built.com, you can use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Go there now. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. The NFL is also getting started back up, and you can bet on that too. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NFL, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Vince, last thing we're going to talk about today, we got an email from our buddy Doug Stanley, a loyal listener who, you know, I like Doug a lot. We've got a couple good Dougs, and, you know, Doug Stanley emailed us with a question about the Dodgers getting hit by pitches. He actually sent this a few days ago, so it was before Max Muncy got hit again on Monday and then hit an angry home run. It was before Billy McKinney got hit by a pitch on Tuesday, and he says, hey, guys, have you looked into the stats of what teams get hit by the most pitches? It seems the Dodgers not only get hit a lot, but they lose guys to injuries resulting from being hit by a pitch, with Julio being the latest example. And he says, the year the Cardinals broke Hanley Ramirez's ribs in the playoffs, I dug into the stats and found there was one batter hit by a pitch on average of every two games. The Cardinals were hitting the Dodgers twice a game, four times the average. And so, you know, I looked into the stats, and Doug was right that the Dodgers do get hit by a lot of pitches. Going into Tuesday night's games, the Dodgers were tied with the Reds at 87 hit by pitches per team this year. And then I looked, and the Dodgers and Reds each had one hit by pitch on Tuesday. So now they're tied at 88 for the most in baseball. The next highest is the A's with only 75. So they're 13 hit by pitches behind the two leaders. Down at the bottom of the list, you've got the Tigers and the Blue Jays. Tigers have been hit 30 times, and the Blue Jays have been hit 32 times. So the Dodgers have been hit by pitches almost three times as often as the Tigers. And when you look at the specifics, we know Corey Seager missed a couple months because of his broken hand. Julio's on the IL right now. We had that game when Alex Wood hit both Justin Turner and Max Muncy in the Giants series, and neither of them went on the IL, but they both missed time. You have any thoughts, Vince, on why it is that the Dodgers seem to get hit by so many pitches?
You know, I would have never said, hey, they're the leaders in hit by pitches. I think probably one reason is the fact of how many pitches they see. They're one of the more disciplined teams at the plate, so by nature, they see more pitches, and when you ask a pitcher to throw more pitches, whatever the ratio or number is of amount of pitches per hit by pitch by pitcher, if you see more pitches, then you're guaranteed to at least see more hit by pitches just based on that fact. So I would imagine that's what it is. Justin Turner has already been the Dodgers franchise leader in hit by pitches, hasn't been here that long, or at least it didn't feel like it when he broke the record, 2 years ago. But he's a guy who maybe crowds the plate a little bit. Other than that, I don't think anyone else really crowds the plate to the point where it would cause them to be hit by more pitches. Matt Beatty gets hit by a lot of pitches. He might have the best, like, per hit by pitch per plate appearance on the team. And yeah, I don't, other than the fact that they make pitchers throw more pitches, that's really the only thing I could think of.
Would it surprise you if I told you Justin Turner does not lead the team in hit by pitches this year?
No, it wouldn't surprise me, but I have no idea who does lead.
Will Smith. Will Smith has been hit 14 times this year. That surprises me. I remember Smith being hit a couple times, but I don't think I realized that he had been hit that many times. Justin Turner's been hit 11 times. Max Muncy's been hit 10 times. Just those three guys, that's 35 hit by pitches. So they have more than the entire team of the Tigers, the entire team of the Blue Jays, and right up there, the Pirates, Royals, D-backs, Rockies, and Giants are all in the 40 and 41. And you've got just those three guys. And then, like you said, Matt Beatty, only 205 plate appearances, 8 hit by pitches. Chris Taylor also 8. Mookie Betts also 8. And then just a bunch of guys with, you know, 4, 2, and 1. So, yeah, I mean, just a lot of guys getting hit by pitches. And I think some of it might just be the organizational commitment to getting on base, you know, like there's the classic line from Chase Utley a few years ago when somebody asked him, do you like it, getting hit by pitches? And he said, well, I don't not like it, you know. And that's obviously Justin Turner's approach too. Justin Turner, you can tell he is not up there hunting the hit by pitch, but he, if the ball's anywhere near him, he's definitely turning away from it in such a way that it's maximizing his chances of taking it off the elbow guard. Matt Beatty definitely looks like he's sticking that right thigh in, looking for the hit by pitch sometimes on that low and inside pitch. You know, they're definitely not afraid to get hit by pitches. Will Smith, it's kind of interesting that he leads because he's been so good on those inside pitches. You would think that he would be cheating away from it, but to be kind of leaning in on pitches to get hit enough and still dominating the inside part of the plate, it seems like an interesting combination.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have guessed Will Smith, but now you think about it, he does take a lot of, it seems like, breaking balls off the elbow guard. So maybe it's just a matter of, you know, when I used to bat in the middle of the lineup on a Sunday league and like a Mexican league over here in Carson, I batted fourth, but I wasn't a slugger by any means. I just happened to be more of a slugger than everyone else on the team. And I got hit by so many curveballs that didn't curve or didn't break, that maybe that's what Wilson's getting. He's in the middle of that lineup, and he gets a lot more off-speed pitches. Because if I do remember any Will Smith hit by pitches, it's definitely on a slow breaking ball that just hits his elbow guard and he takes his base.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, interestingly, Will Smith only had 7 hit by pitches in his career coming into this year in roughly, you know, so he had, coming into this year, he had 333 plate appearances. This year he has 369. So, you know, almost half his career. And yet, so basically he's getting hit at twice the rate that he had previously. So I'm interested to see if this rate keeps up, if this is really him, or if it is a small sample size and just, oh, he happened to get hit a lot that year. I don't think either one of those would surprise me. But yeah, Doug definitely was onto something, seeing that the Dodgers are getting hit more. I don't know if the number of injuries they've had from hit by pitches is more or less than you would expect from other teams. It's hard to look up, you know, even you can look up who's lost time to the injured list, but you can't really see what caused it. So we noticed what we watched. So we know, we remember Corey Seager, we remember Julio, we remember JT and Muncy in that Giants series. And so those things stand out to us because we watch all the Dodger games, but who knows what other teams are dealing with when it comes to injuries from hit by pitches.
Yeah.
All right, I think that'll do it for today. Vince, you have any other thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, I'm ready for a sweep and move on to the Mets. And hopefully the Mets can just win one.
Yep, so hopefully, the Mets and Giants play early. And so we will know before the Dodger game even starts whether the Giants won or lost today. And Mitch White is getting the bulk of the innings. Hopefully he can be efficient and give the Dodgers, you know, 5-ish innings. And really, hopefully the Dodgers offense shows up so that the rest of the game can be pitched by guys who we don't need as much for the Mets series. So thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. We love talking Dodgers with you every day. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. They might enjoy listening to it. Obviously, if you like what you hear, go on to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. We would love that. If you have any constructive criticism for us, you can hit us up on email at Locked On Dodgers. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. The DMs are open in all of those places. Our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!